Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to me, Max Kaiser. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. But first, Uruguayan journalist, writer, novelist Eduardo Galeano once said, almost all wars, perhaps all, are trade wars connected with some material interest. They are always disguised as sacred wars made in the name of God or civilization or progress, but all of them, or almost all, wars have been trade wars. I know what you're thinking.
You're thinking that explains the fact that globalization and perpetual war have gone hand in hand these past 40 years. That makes a lot of sense, right, Stacy?
Well, indeed. You know, Trump has seemingly done the impossible, and that is start trade wars with Mexico, Canada, Germany, and of course, China. Last week, he said he was going to slap $450 billion on new tariffs on goods worth $450 billion on tariffs on products coming out of China. China, of course, vows to retaliate. There have already been a few rounds of tariffs already slapped on Chinese goods, which were then met with tariffs going back the other way for U.S. goods going into China.
Yeah, and I would say this is a global reset. And this is what Trump said he was going to do when he came into office. You know, the global trade has been kind of going this way for decades. And so it needed to be reset. The table needed to be reset. And Trump has come in and he has basically thrown everything onto the ground and said, let's start all over again.
Well, you know, there is one weapon that many say China has, and that is the over $1 trillion in U.S. treasuries that they have. And many have said, oh, China will dump those, and that's how they're going to get back at the U.S. It's going to crash the dollar. It's going to cause hyperinflation and all sorts of stuff. Well, I'm going to look at a headline here from a few weeks ago, and it was from Steve Mnuchin, who is the Treasury Secretary of the United States, so supposed to basically govern the U.S. dollar and its value, and Mnuchin not worried about China retaliating on trade by dumping U.S. treasuries. China has not ruled out using its status as America's biggest foreign creditor as leverage in the fight over trade, but Steve Mnuchin isn't concerned. Quote, plenty of people can buy our treasuries, the U.S. Treasury Secretary said in an interview with CNN. Treasury securities are among the most liquid in the world, he added, saying that the market for U.S. bonds is robust.
Oh, yeah, there is a market for U.S. bonds. The problem is that most of the buying is done by central banks, including America's own central bank, the Federal Reserve Bank. So it's not that there's not enough buyers of these bonds. It's that there are not enough buyers that have America's interest at heart that are buying these bonds. And in the case of China, they can dump these bonds, and they have a lot of them, and it would be, as some describe it, the nuclear option because it would throw a huge spanner into the works on the American financial global hegemony.
Well, in March, the Chinese ambassador to the United States kept open the option of scaling back purchases of U.S. debt in the event of a trade war. Quote, we are looking at all options, Chu Tianke told Bloomberg Television. China is the largest foreign U.S. bondholder with $1.18 trillion in holdings. Notice that he did not say he would sell the U.S. bonds, but that he would scale back purchases of U.S. debt. Of course, China has already been scaling back purchases, as has Japan, as have many countries, by the way. And I know Wolf Richter at WolfStreet.com did do an analysis and saying there was a $1 trillion gap last year. Like, who bought that $1 trillion extra in U.S. treasuries issued? And it wasn't Russia, it wasn't China, it wasn't Europe, it wasn't all those offshore havens that are the traditional ways by which hedge funds and other buyers buy their U.S. Treasury bonds. It was the U.S. consumer and the U.S. pension funds because, of course, interest rates in American savings accounts are under 1%. They're often like under 0.1%, actually. And a lot of American investors have been piling into U.S. Treasuries just for the yield because the yields are rising as other countries stop buying.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yields are rising. There seems to be an idea that global bond market rally that's been going for almost 40 years is coming to a close, and you've got rhetoric coming out that would reverse quantitative easing into what's called quantitative tightening. So the Federal Reserve and other central banks are selling into the market these bonds. And of course, that means the price of the bonds as expressed in terms of interest rates goes higher. And that means the cost of servicing debt around the world goes higher. And this has been the dynamic driving the global economy for decades now. And so now we think there might be an inflection point. You know, this has been rumored to be happening for years now, but this could be the big one.
Max, I wanted to interview you for this episode of Double Down because you were interviewed on RT. You gave some quotes to RT.com about this trade war, the escalating trade war between China and the United States after the president of the United States warned that he would be introducing new tariffs on $450 billion worth of goods. And one of the suggestions you made was that this was basically a strategy. This was the art of the deal by Donald Trump. And that, in fact, he wanted to downsize the Pentagon budget to reduce U.S. debt. So I ask you, what does this mean? What are you trying to say? And in fact, my looking at Donald Trump's first two budgets so far is that first year, he increased the Pentagon budget by over 10%. And then just last week, they passed a $715 billion Pentagon budget.
Right. And of course, you know, where that budget is spent is discretionary. So it's just a big, big pool of money, and how it's spent is up for grabs. But let's look at this strategically. So Donald Trump comes into office and he's a businessman and he looks at America's balance sheet and he sees that it's got 17, 18, 19, 20, now $21 trillion in debt officially on the national balance sheet. He's got half of the tax revenues that are collected every year. That would be of the $3 trillion in tax revenue, $1.5 trillion of that goes to the Pentagon. And he's thinking, well, you know, we've had trickle-down economics for 20 years. There's not much left we can do there. I've got to come up with something to reduce America's exposure to what could be this China threat of dumping U.S. treasuries, jacking interest rates higher. And that would be a way for them to get control of trade negotiations and trade wars. So he's got to reduce the attack surface of America by reducing debt. By reducing debt, he then reduces, as I say, the attack surface. You know, that's just a fancy way of saying the risk of a huge country like China attacking America by this nuclear option of dumping bonds. And so you look at the Pentagon, it's clearly the biggest budget item in the American economy. And what I see is the following. You know, he goes to Korea and North Korea, and now they're talking about de-escalation. And if you see the follow-up in North Korea now, they've removed all the anti-American propaganda. They're moving aggressively toward a peaceful settlement, peaceful deal with South Korea. And as Trump has already said, he wants to cut the annual military maneuvers that go on in South Korea, and he wants to get out of South Korea. There's a huge military presence from America in South Korea. It's a huge waste of money. I predict that'll be cut, and he wants to get out. There's two other major geo spots in the world that are just sucking American military budget needlessly, the Middle East and in Germany. And I think, you know, what's Trump's next big summit? He's going to meet with Putin. That's now happening. So I think there are going to be a huge cut in America's funding of NATO, which would mean America's funding of a military presence in Germany. There's like 58,000 troops in Germany. And that leaves the Middle East, all this posturing in the Middle East, opening the Israeli embassy in Jerusalem, et cetera. Yeah, I think he's buttering the toast there to try and get folks to the table and, again, cut U.S. military. So although he's increased the Pentagon's budget, that doesn't mean that he can't turn around and say, hey, everybody, the Pentagon's budget is $1.6 trillion. But guess what? I'm going to put 20% of that into infrastructure spend, and I'm going to throw $500 billion at expanding credit to small and medium enterprises, and we're going to make America great again. So I think if I look at this from the big picture item, that's the way I see this going down.
Well, he does have a lot of war hawks in his government, so let's see about that. But certainly, if you withdrew troops, the 30-something thousand troops in South Korea, which is quite remarkable to have that many over there in South Korea. Lord knows how many we have in Germany, but I'm assuming it's equal. That, of course, creates jobs locally, and all their income is spent locally overseas. So presumably he could retreat and remove, he could still spend the same amount, but spend it domestically in the U.S. and spend more on weapons manufacturing, which, of course, the stock market loves. And, of course, those jobs are creating these weapons are done domestically. So that will add jobs.
Right. And there is kind of a follow-up to this in that, okay, you mentioned that the stock market would react. The stock market in the U.S. would probably drop 50% on this news because so much of it's tied into the war industry. Same thing with China. But, you know, U.S. and China are differently positioned. So if Trump redeploys toward infrastructure and small business, you have a recession followed by a boom in China because there is no mature consumer market domestically. They would fall back on what got them to the growth rate in the beginning, and that is to underprice the Chinese yuan against other currencies, including the dollar, and try to export their way out of a recession, which would mean not selling dollars, but actually accumulating dollars to keep the Chinese currency cheap. So they would, in fact, tables would be completely reversed on them. They'd be a buyer of dollars. The American tax surface in terms of a bond dump would be reduced. Jobs in the U.S. go up, China's growth rate would remain positive, and they would avert the problems of having their whole economy go into a full-scale swoon. And this could be the major strategic play of the century.
Well, it doesn't matter what sort of strategy you have when the fact is that after 40 years now, since, I guess, 1971, when we went off the gold standard, we've been on an international dollar standard. And having an international dollar standard necessitates massive trade deficits. You have to have a massive trade deficit because all trade is done in dollars. So they have to accumulate dollars in order to trade. So that's why China doesn't want their own currency to be the international reserve, because they prefer a mercantilist trade policy. So they want their domestic population to have this. So at the end of the day, however, domestically in the United States, this debt, this massive deficit, the growing deficit, which is adding to the growing debt load, national debt load, it's kind of at an end game. So no matter what, whether or not the Chinese decide to deploy this nuclear option of a dumping treasuries, it seems like there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, I think because, as you point out, the U.S. dollar has run its course as world reserve currency. Other countries are now dumping dollars, dumping bonds, increasing their position in gold, positioning themselves ahead of a post-U.S. dollar hegemony. And we see this happening in Asia and in the Eastern Europe countries and Russia, et cetera. So how this will come out the other side, Trump is a guy who I think understands the dynamics and is making moves to keep America's interest competitive with the rest of the world. I can't think of any other president since I've been around, and I was born in 1960, so I've been seeing presidents since JFK. I can't think of any other president who would be as qualified as Donald Trump to help guide America through this post-U.S. dollar hegemony world.
Yeah, because remember, the national debt has increased by 6% since Donald Trump became president. It's now over $21 trillion. It can only go up, right? It can't go down. It's not going to go down, because if it goes down, the global economy and all the derivatives of the banking system crash. We saw what happened in 2008, and it would be even worse than that. So, however, it is becoming a very political issue. So what point can it get to? 40 trillion, 50 trillion, 100 trillion, a quadrillion? When does it all end? It's going to have to end soon, I guess, Max. And what do you have to say in the last 30 seconds here?
Yeah, well, I think the end game, looking historically, is when the interest on the debt is no longer serviceable by your tax revenue. So the interest on America's debt, when it starts to get to the $3 trillion and above level, then more than 100% of your tax base is going to service debt. And that's when you have a hyperinflationary doom loop and a currency crisis. So I think we can avoid that if everything I just said is enacted. And that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, me. Until next week, bye, y'all.